Everybody say hello to Mark Cavill this morning.
Mark Cavill.
Hi, Mark.
Mark Cavill in there?
Mark is hiding in there. He's a guy that has a Bible study group in England.
I know who he is.
Oh, no, I was telling him. Our guest.
He wouldn't know.
I just told him who he was.
That's why you should have told him. He's the one who doesn't know.
John, shut up.
Why is Robert buying such bright light bulbs?
I would complain about that.
Your name Wade, you're the delivery man for Coca-Cola?
I'm the delivery man.
How much are they paying you to wear that shirt?
They're paying me $2,500 a month.
Are you tithing?
Hey, shut up, man. Slappy boy.
Why can't everybody get here by 7:30? Is that like a problem?
Everybody's here.
Well, it's 7. It's getting later.
Sorry.
Where's... Oh, there he is.
Grab me a spoon, Lee Rock.
Schedule it for 7:15.
Maybe
everybody would give
you one of those. You don't understand this group.
We're here now.
This is a gentleman that called me a week or two ago and was asking about Bible studies, and I forgot your name already. So
Jerry Berger.
Jerry Berger.
Can you call him a gentleman?
Huh?
You called him a gentleman?
He doesn't know me.
I don't know him yet. I give him the benefit of the doubt. A lot of doubt, but a little benefit.
A lot of doubt.
We've never had a Jerry, have we?
No? We've had a female Jerry.
We had a female Jerry, yeah.
We had some Jerry,
yeah. Okay, Revelation 13. Is the ice machine fixed, Robert?
It's off right now. I had enough ice in the
The first part. Yesterday we studied from Revelation 13 to 13:1 to 10, and we found out that this is a description of you and me, that the human race is the Antichrist, and it has it was healed from a deadly head wound. And unless you understand this, you'll never understand the gospel, because you will think that the gospel's purpose is to benefit you, to fix you, to make you nice. But if you once understand that you are the chief of sinners, that you are in fact the Antichrist, that this Antichrist has been masquerading as you your whole life, then you will gladly run to the cross. And you will abandon yourself and pick up your cross. So the first part of from Revelation 13:1 to 13:10, it talked about all men. Let's go on. Verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. This is what happens after you become a believer. You're still the beast, but now you've got the outward appearance of a lamb, but you're still speaking with the voice of the dragon. This is when most of the damage to the kingdom of God occurs. You talk about the cross, but it's the cross way back there. It's not the cross that you died on. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Everybody on the face of the earth is worshiping this beast, because the beast is themselves. And the word worship means to give breath to. So the worship of self is endemic to the human nature, and it's caused by the Antichrist. He causes all, both great and small, all nations, all tongues, all kindreds. They're worshiping the beast, but in fact they're worshiping the dragon. Any time that they're self for self, even to the extent of wanting to know about God. You got it? What? You're looking really weird. How come you're looking like that?
I'm about to pot call on the kettle's wife.
What's the dragon?
Dragon is Satan throughout the scriptures. We just read it in Revelation 12, remember? Go back to Revelation 12.
Why a dragon? What are they all about? I mean, yeah, they're Satan. Is there something else about the dragon?
Well, a dragon's a mythical beast. I mean, it's always the beast of ancient myth.
It's a snake with legs. It's a snake before it lost its legs.
It's in the stars.
Yeah, plus it's in the star map.
In the what?
The stars.
No.
Constellations.
It's one of the constellations. Or the decas to the constellations. Anyway. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Well, you can imagine John. John, this is 2,000 years ago. John is looking around and he sees the future. And he sees fire coming down from the earth, from the sky, in the sight of men. It's a jillion possible things. It's bombs coming out of the sky. It's whatever. It's something that was so foreign to him that it shocked him. And he said, I see this guy, this Antichrist, causes fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men.
On stage and throws it on his followers and they call it fire.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the just technological things that humans are capable of.
Right. It's all of the technology, all of the advances the human race has made. It's just, which were so... It's not something like, it's not the Hal Lindsey crap. All right. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now, what's the image to the beast?
Make yourself.
It's you. You are the statue. You are the golem. You have constantly recreated yourself from the moment of your first awareness. You add clay to the statue, trying to figure out who you are and what you are and what you should do and what you want to do and what's your purpose in life. And, oh, mommy, why am I born? You're still doing it. You read style books to do it. You get it from TV and movies. What's fashionable? Every culture has its own influence. But you're slowly making a statue to the beast. But it's you that you're making. Understand? Aren't you tired of continually trying to fix yourself? To continually trying to understand, to try to figure out, I'm just this poor, sincere truth seeker. Have I made my point? Anybody not understand? Ronnie?
You might carry on for a few more minutes. To make sure.
I hear you that.
You want me to, should I give some personal examples?
That will be necessary.
Oh, okay. They should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, what was the wound? This is, everything goes back to Genesis 3, that the seed of the woman bruised or overcame the head of the serpent. But he's still alive. He's still here. Let's nail this down. Go to 2 Thessalonians 2.
Like the sword is like the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is moving
right.
This
right.
Thing permanently, and yet you breathe life back into it.
Right. Paul said that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You understand? The human race died on the cross. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. If he was the last Adam, who are you? Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Remember that coming means, is the word parousia. It can either be translated coming or presence. For me, that's far better translation. It translated as presence. We beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now something has to happen before anybody can tell you that the end is here. Now it tells us what that has to happen. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come an a falling away first, an apostasy. I watched religious television again last night. They're all talking about this great end time revival. There is no end time revival in the scriptures. There's only an end time apostasy, an end time falling away. You understand that?
What is the end time falling away?
What is it? Falling away from the truth. Believing fables and lies instead of the truth.
It's like the end time revival would be spoken of in Revelation 12:13 when the dragon's power is released, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, it's they get it because they don't understand that which was predicted in Joel happened on the day of Pentecost. Remember, the scriptures are clear. It says, all the law and the prophets prophesied until John. Jesus was a fulfillment of every word of prophecy, of every law, of every jot and tittle of this book. He fulfilled it all. But it's, oh, isn't this great? We can go write some books about the late great planet Earth and then the late great Hal Lindsey. The late great Gary Buckner.
Is there kind of a parallel universe that takes place, like in the world, a lot of things happen that mimic the scriptures, which gives the
But what happens is it always is true. Every generation has their Hal Lindseys. Every generation thinks that somebody's the Antichrist. That Hitler is, or that Nero was, or one of the Caesars, or
there's all kinds of evidence that gives them support for that.
If they twist the scriptures, there's enough evidence. It's anything to keep them alive. Okay, that you not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin and the son of perdition is clearly stated many times as the Antichrist. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he as, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Doesn't show anybody else, he shows himself. Because he judges for himself right and wrong, good and evil. What's nice and what's not. What he likes and what he doesn't. He shows himself that he's God. Everybody else thinks he's a fool. Because they've got their own deal going. Can you comprehend it? Now, the day of Christ cannot come until this falling away happens and the man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed. Well, the son of perdition has been revealed. It's us. It's you. It's I. It's me. It's especially Harry.
Well, you know, he used that same term to talk about Judas in one of the prophecies in the Old Testament, you know, the son of perdition. It's like it's an all-purpose term relating to, you know,
but who
anti Christ? You know?
An anti doesn't mean against, remember, it means instead of. He set himself up in the temple. You are the temple of the living God. Scriptures are clear. And you have set yourself up in the temple, showing yourself that you're God. But you're opposing and exalting yourself above God and above all that is worshipped. Because you're addicted to self.
Last night, Michelle was talking about the words coming out of her mouth, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and when they came out, she realized that it was Jesus saying, "Get thee behind me, Michelle." And what you just said reminded me of where those words come from. I mean, here's like the chief apostle being told, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Three sentences after Jesus said of him, "Flesh and blood is not revealed this unto us, but my Father which is in heaven."
Oops, here comes flesh and blood again.
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now how do you do that? You oppose and you exalt yourself above all that is called God or that is worshipped by what? By thinking that there is something left to do. When Christ said it's finished, it's total. By one offering you've been perfected forever, and yet you deny the perfection. The reason you deny the perfection is because you want to know, you want to be in control. Knowledge is power. I'm in the early years, I remember certain people saying, "Oh, I just can't read the Bible. I wished I knew the scriptures as well as somebody or certain persons did." And yeah, you do. You wanted to be in control. There's the anointing you've received, you have need that no man teach you. For you already know all things. All that a preacher, all that I can do is cause there to be a witness internally for something you already know. That's what preaching does. There's no doubt everybody on the face of the earth knows at the core that they're the chief of sinners. They know the depth of their own depravity, their own evil. But nobody's telling them. Everybody's got this Pollyanna theology. "Oh, you're such a wonderful person." It's mommy theology. "Oh, isn't he a nice boy?" They used to say that about me. Can you imagine that?
No.
If you were saying that,
I met your mother, but I don't believe it.
I was real young when they said that. What?
Fewer and fewer.
I know when they're saying it now.
In the hospital.
In the womb. When they came out, all hell broke. All right. You ought to see Harry with his mother. He kisses her ass left and right. And then he comes back here and says, "I can't stand to be with her."
The bitch is a saint.
The only thing that I ever did with my mother is I told her what was on my mind. And it just, it blew Harry away. Because I didn't think of her as my mother, I thought of her as my sister in Christ. The labels are gone. So I treated her just like I treat you.
My point.
Huh?
My point exactly.
We're not even supposed to be here. We're supposed to be in Revelation 13.
No, Robert will come.
Are you laughing at me, Robert?
Yeah, because you told us to go there.
We just read it. Now we're going back. I was talking to myself. I noticed where we were, and I said to myself, we're not even supposed to be there.
Right.
Said so. I
said, Phil? Pete, don't leave me now.
Did you get back on tab?
I got to say something so I can get it off my mind.
Oops. Go ahead.
I went to a Vineyard last night, and Jesus was the checker, and Peter was the bank boy.
Yeah. Jesus and Pedro. Again, John Rutledge here, and I can't imagine when that's much, go read the book of John. Because, you can imagine going read the book of Gary.
Yeah, my book didn't make
it. Or Medina's mine, the book of Oli, that'd be a good one. The closest we got is Obadiah. That's a real short book. Who?
Book of Ronnie.
Yeah, Book of Ronnie.
How to Make Chicken.
That's in the Apocrypha.
It's
a cleaning. It's a
how
cleaning
to,
manual.
How to
cook pork. How to fry chicken.
All right. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And that's why Jesus said, the time has come in which they will kill you and think they're doing God holy service. It's been true throughout all of history. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. They're not gonna have the bait stamp on you or something. The mark, throughout the scriptures, the mark in your forehead is a symbolic of how you think, and the mark in your right hand is symbolic of what you do. And so you cannot buy or sell unless you have the mark. You cannot, because that's cause and effect. There's only two, the world isn't even left. You understand that? The only thing that's left is the bride and the whore. The whore is the one that worships cause and effect. It doesn't matter in whose name she is. She gives importance to cause and effect. The greatest enemy of mercy and grace is cause and effect. And that's the hallmark of the whore of Babylon. The hallmark of the bride is total and complete dependence on the Father. So, the mark isn't going to be some computer code that's stamped in a computer chip that they're going to embed in your body or something. The mark is there. It came from the curse. And that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, it is the number of all men, and the number is 666. 666. And it's that because the human race can never be at rest, can never enter the Sabbath. So it's always, and Sabbath is seven, it's always 666. You can never be at rest. The wicked one, which is you, can never be at rest without the cross.
It's like one of those repeating numbers that never ends.
Never, yeah, 666666666.
Always chasing seven.
Always chasing seven, and seven isn't the goal. That's why Noah was condemned in the Talmud, because Noah was the word. He was of the rest, but rest isn't the goal. The goal is eight, the resurrection, or the transfiguration. Everybody understand? Can you stop? You understand? You give breath. You're the one that's causing the Antichrist to continue living. You're the one that keeps giving him breath because you refuse to see that you refuse to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The only thing that can bring every thought into captivity is it's finished. Then that places you in it places you in great peril because all of your senses will say it isn't finished. You know, he's put all things under his feet. In that he put all things, he left nothing that is not put under him. But we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus. And that's the point. That's where faith is the real essence of life. Because if you think there is a problem, and all evidence indicates there's a problem, that's when faith says you must see him. Wade, any thoughts?
This morning I keep thinking about celebrating my capabilities and in terms of that being a deception. Because that's something I've done a lot and I still like to do that. And I think of that in teaching kids to celebrate their capabilities.
Yeah, it's deception. But you can still do it. I mean, you can have fun with it.
It's a nice phrase.
I know. Also, I'm getting married.
Did you talk to your Bible study?
Yes. They were pretty okay with it.
I told Wade of all the people he'd ever dated, which had been quite a few in the years since I've known him, this is the only one that I would bless.
Amen.
No, I'm real happy for it, both of you.
Would you like to mention who the girl is?
He's marrying himself. Dana!
How does she feel about it?
She's A-okay.
Okay, we're
pretty
okay.
She said she knows
pretty
okay.
Okay.
Pretty okay.
I will
he's
marry
pretty
okay. Him.
Yeah, for a reasonably good time, call Wade. All right, but you can't, don't trust the tools of the Antichrist, which is your mind has not once in your entire life been your friend. It's always led you away. It's always led you to aloneness. But you still, I've been teaching this for 30 years, and yet something will happen today, and you'll get a good idea. Abandon yourself. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. Therein is faith. Anybody else?
Well, I was thinking this the stuff in Revelation, it's written in language that's kind of unfamiliar to us and parables. You don't understand a lot of what it's saying. But
who does?
Well,
I'm kidding.
Even though it's in this weird language and that, mm-hmm. and you teach on it, it says the exact same thing as every other page in here says. The message hasn't changed one bit. It just opens it up in another way that's mind-boggling.
Right.
And it's the same Jesus.
Same Jesus, same finishness, same cross. Finish
everything. Just another, I guess we have to be hit in so many directions to fulfill our understanding.
Who can take me to Louisville?
What time?
Sometime after 10.
I'm probably
can you take me?
Do you want to go that soon?
Well, I want to go see Dr. Crane, and then.
So you're going to basically camp out there for the.
Yeah, okay. For 3 or 4 hours.
Man, I got to get on this then. I'm thinking.
How are you going to get? I only heard part of what you're.
Yeah, so John will take care of the
really
hotel.
Well, you've got to tell him.
Yeah, how are you going to get from where you are?
John will pick up the hotel and then take you to the
hotel. That was my question. So, do I take you there and wait with you there?
And just take me there and drop me off.
Don't have to wait around.
Don't even have to do more than slow down.
Just push me out of the car.
Door.
I'm not going to just drop you off.
like you didn't ask for a ride back.
So I guess this means you won't be at the door meeting.
At the what?
Door meeting.
We can handle it.
Darden's bringing his mother.
Yeah.
Kimberly's bringing her husband.
Yeah.
We're having a little party.
Anybody have anything else? We have a custom to remember it. If a first time person, do you have any response? Anything you want to say?
I've got to soak in. What you said is not unfamiliar to what I've read in here as well.
Good. And,
but I've never heard anybody else say that. Clarify it.
Join the club.
What'd you say?
He's terrified.
Yeah.
Terrified
to declare it. There's this great song we were listening to the other night by the Eagles. It's called Get Over It. One of the lines is, I'd like to find your inner child and kick his little ass.
You like this?
Invited him. I love this.
Well, I say that all the time.
No.
I know.
Huh?
I know that.
They write a song about it and make a lot of money.
I know, they make millions and millions and billions and billions.
You lose money.
I lose money. Oh, I'm going to have to go to a Benny Hinn crusade here.
Yeah,
that
wouldn't give you any
problem. I showed up when I was at their church when I met with them, and they just died. And they didn't even hardly know me then.
Well, I was listening to Mike Murdoch this morning, and now I know why we can't pay our bills.
We need the whiskey.
Members of the anti-poverty, or we're members of the poverty problem.
He knows that they're doing a major piece on him, the Forward Star Telegram, and he knows it, and he's blaming us.
What?
Why
me? 97.
Man, these guys are doing it.
That's right. Hello.
You got 101 wisdom keys. If they are right.
Just use those keys. Take it, big guy.
Silence cannot be misquoted.